Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at this same time each week, and it is a real privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. Again, we want to thank those that take time to write us, and we really appreciate that. And we have people who write and say, Pastor Younce, we're really praying for the radio broadcast, and we pray for you because we know that the way you teach the Bible and as straightforward as you are with the Bible, no ifs, ands, or buts, that there are people that are going to hate you for that because it is in quite a contrast to some of the traditional things that have been passed down by tradition in some of the liberal churches. And we know the opposition you get from that. And even trying to get you taken off of the radio and everything else and calling the station manager and things like that. But we're praying for you because we love the radio broadcast and we love to hear the Bible taught. So those prayers are very precious. We want to thank you for doing that. And the Bible is our textbook, and the Word of God is upon the foundation upon which we stand. So if you have your Bibles and you're in a position to follow along, we hope that you will do that. So turn with us here to Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue now and finish up here in the 8th chapter and then go on to the 9th chapter. But there are a couple of verses we want to take, and that is chapter 8 and verse 28. What a wonderful verse here of assurance that the Lord gives us here. And he says here in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose." So whatever purpose God has called you for, he may have called you to be a pastor, he may have called you to be a deacon, or he may have called you to be a Sunday school teacher, or whatever service that he called you in to do. You may be one that cannot give to the support of the church, and God's called you to be a prayer warrior, one that will pray for the needs of the people. If you've maybe been called that maybe you make a lot of money and so forth, and God's called you to be a giver to the church, and to do that, well, all things will work together if you're faithful to the calling that God has called you into his service to do. And, you know, in these days we find out, and I'm going to say this, I think being a pastor that teaches the Bible in these days that we're living in now is probably one of the most difficult jobs of any job a person can have on the face of the earth. I really believe it is, because you're trying to please everybody. And you want your congregation to get along. You want people and Christians to love each other. But within any congregation, you have Christians that are new Christians. You have Christians that are more mature Christians. And then you have those that are your solid foundation there that try to help the young ones to grow as a Christian and so forth. And then you have those who just plain don't want to serve the Lord, and they're going to rebel. There's going to be something in the sermon that's going to offend them, and out they go, and it's always the pastor's fault. Of course it is, for everything. No matter what happens, it's always the pastor's fault. But so you have a lot of different variety of people. When you teach the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God will pierce. If you're in a Bible-teaching church and you're not serving Christ, then the Holy Spirit's going to take the messages, and it's going to apply it to your heart, and it's going to cut right in there, because God wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God wants you to lead a Christian life. He wants you to dedicate yourself to him and put him first. So when the messages the pastor preaches are quite pointedly and straight from the Bible, if you're serving the Lord, they're not going to bother you. And you're going to sit there and say, "Amen, brother, preach on." But if you're one that's rebelling against the Lord, you show up once a month to church, and you want all the blessings of God, and the preacher says you're not going to get them because God blesses faithfulness, you're going to begin to get offended. He preaches on, you know, putting all your worldly things first. God blesses you, but he puts you put all your worldly things first, and those worldly things that God has blessed you with, you turn around and throw them in his face and use them as an excuse not to come to church. Well, you're going to be quite offended when you're in a Bible-teaching church. So, of course, it's the pastor's fault. You know, he's picking on you. And fundamental pastors have that in just about every church because you have different grades of people. You have different, I should say, steps of spirituality. Some are mature, some are not, some are carnal. And so it's a difficult job. But we find out here, if you're serving the Lord, no matter what trials that you go through, the Lord promises us here that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to serve the Lord. So he's talking about those serving the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, and doing what God wants you to do as a Christian, standing against false doctrine, standing up for the great doctrines of the Bible here, and so forth like that. Being faithful to teach your Sunday school class, studying for your Sunday school class, and being faithful in whatever avenue that God's called you to do. So don't get discouraged and be faithful, and don't get weary in well-doing, because all things are going to work together for good to them that love the Lord. And loving the Lord means serving the Lord according to his purpose. So God works out a lot of things in order to bring it about for his glory and for your good, if you'll just hang in there. Don't be a quitter. Now we come on down, and I want to go back to another verse in verse 26, because we have had this so many times by some that have spoken in tongues, so-called tongues. Well, they're really not tongues at all, because the tongues in the Bible are those that are understood in their own language. And the word tongues comes from glossia, and it means languages, not jibber-jabber or getting up and speaking something that nobody in church understands. And they look upon you, and you're supposed to be the spiritual giant now, because God has touched you with some special thing here, and jibby, 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 sun, sun, diddy, eye, and all that sort of thing. When I say sun, sun, diddy, eye, that's the one that I've heard in most meetings that I've went to. I've heard that most often. Never have found out what it means. But anyway, sun, sun, diddy, eye, or whatever, nobody knows what it means. But now you're spiritual because you've spoken in tongues. And they refer back to this verse a lot of times. I like for you to notice in verse 26. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I was talking to a man, it's been quite some time back, and was telling me about his experience in church. The Spirit just got a hold of him, and it was the Holy Spirit just speaking through him, and he spoke in tongues. And I said, well... And he was referring to this verse here. He said, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know there. I was just so burdened in my heart. And this is how the Holy Spirit, and he referred to this verse back here. But I said, sir, it can't be this verse you're referring to, because when you spoke in your so-called tongues, people heard you and looked around and so forth. And this verse tells us here that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So don't blame the Holy Spirit here and say this is here, because this verse is teaching us when we're so burdened for someone, for praying for their soul to be saved and them to trust Jesus Christ, or it might be some family matter or whatever it might be, that you're just so burdened about it. It just seems like you're a Christian and you go there to the family reunions and things, and there's all the drinking and there's all of this, and of course you get made fun of because you're back in the ancient of ancient days, you know, and you don't drink anymore. You don't swear anymore, and you don't tell your dirty jokes anymore, and you're just really burdened over that, because it just seems like there's no conviction to your relatives. You've tried to witness, but they don't want you around, and you're just really burdened. I mean, you're really hurt in your heart, and you're upset, and you have a real burden for them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you really just don't know how to pray other than, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I'm just turning it over to you, and Holy Spirit, you know my mind. You just go ahead and intercede, and the Holy Spirit will do that. That's what this verse is talking about. You're just so burdened in your heart. Your heart's just broken, and you don't really know how to pray. I mean, you've prayed for their salvation. Nothing seems to happen, and you don't know just exactly what words to use. Well, the Holy Spirit knows your mind, and he intercedes to God for you, knowing your mind and your heart. And this doesn't have any reference to speaking in tongues, because the speaking in tongues is just the opposite of trying to justify themselves using this verse. Underline this in your Bible. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit does that. But it's with groanings which, underline this, cannot be uttered. So it's not the tongues that they attribute this to. It's just the opposite of it. Now let's go on down and get something else here. A wonderful reassurance here. We go on down here to verse 31. Then what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And showing us here that, listen, God's able to make everything and give us anything that we need for his glory. If we pray according to the will of God, he'll answer us and give us our desires according to the will of God. Not to pray to consume it upon our lust, but pray that we can use it for God's glory, whatever it might be. If you don't have a car, pray for a car. God may not give you a brand new Cadillac, but he'll give you four wheels that go around, the motor that takes it. Amen. Pray for what you can use for God's glory, and God promises that you'll give it. And he says here again, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a wonderful Lord that we have. I'll tell you one thing. I remember going through Bible college, and oh my, you talk about being poor. I never so poor in my life. And we rented a little trailer about 35 feet long, and it was only 8 feet wide, and we had three children and a couple of pets. And oh my gracious boy, what a time that was. And the only job I could find back then, I remember, was parking cars up on Biscayne Boulevard in Miami, Florida. And I could have had a better job, but I couldn't go to college, so I needed a job that I could work in the afternoons after I got out of college. And only made a little less than $2 an hour. So you can imagine our trailer rent wasn't too high, but all I could do just to feed the family. And sometimes then we didn't have too much. It was peanut butter, and jelly. And we bought powdered milk, mixed that. That tastes more like chalk than it did milk. But back then it was cheap. Now it's really high. But back then it was the cheapest way to feed the kids. And oh, it was horrible. And I remember coming home and Margie saying after college at noon, and Margie said, you know, we don't have anything the next day for dinner for us, you know. All the canned goods are gone and so forth. Didn't have a penny. And just enough for gas money. And I said, boy, this time we got to go to headquarters. Come boldly before the throne of grace. You may receive help in time of need. I said, you know, the Lord invited us. We need to go now. So we prayed, and lo and behold, left the next morning there and went to college. Didn't know what we was going to have for dinner or anything, you know. Had a little cereal for the kids and that. Come home and hear the neighbor next door, and hardly knew them very well. And her husband was going to Bible college, but they had a lot more money than we had. And she brought over a whole beef roast or something like that, some big roast there, and said, you know, the Lord just laid upon our heart and said, can you use this? Are you running a little short? And, oh, boy, I came over dinner, and Mar said, we got a beef roast. Man alive. I said, where in the world did that thing come from? Did you go out and shoot a cow or something? And, no, she said the neighbor came over and just gave that. Oh, my gracious. Who laid it upon her heart to do that? Well, the Lord did. Isn't the Lord just wonderful? Oh, he may delay, but I'll tell you what, he's never late, is he? Not at all. And then we come on down here, and we begin to find out in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, when you preach the gospel, you're going to find people condemn you all over, especially church-going people of liberal churches that is their social gathering on Sunday morning, not for the Word of God, but just a little tingy there and so forth. Never carry a Bible to church. We go by a church on our way to church. I have for 10 years. I have yet to see one person carry a Bible in their hand going into church. But out of that particular church, I've had some of the most vicious lies that I've ever had told since I've been a pastor come out of some of the people of that church. Now, it surely doesn't represent them all. Some very nice people that go to that church as far as socially and so forth. But boy, there's some misfits in there I've never seen in my life. And they'd lie when the truth would fit better. But here we have, and we find out here, who is he that condemneth? They condemneth because when you preach the gospel, it is contrary to anything they're taught in their so-called church, because it's not a church. I mean, when we preach that there are no women preachers, they have a woman preacher. We preach you're not to homosexuals are condemned by God in the Bible. When we say condemned is, God condemns their activities. And in fact, in the Old Testament, he says, if a man has a relationship with another man, put them both to death before they corrupt your whole society. Well, we're sort of seeing that today, aren't we? everywhere we go, except the homosexual. Put him in the schools and let them have plays. Hire him in here and hire him there and one thing or another. Give him all the equal rights. Let's give him all marriage rights. Let's let a man marry a man. We're getting so corrupted with these homosexuals in our society today that now we're to accept their alternative lifestyle. God condemns the whole thing in Romans chapter 1. All of this is coming, you see. But who is it when they condemn you, if you're preaching the Bible or you're a Christian and you're standing for the Word of God? Who can condemn you? Some little flea-bag man down here that goes to church and uses it as a cloak for self-righteousness and parades around town with a holier-than-thou attitude and still commits adultery, still goes to the bars and drinks, still does this, still does that. Some of the worst gossipers, they lie. Some of the worst liars I've ever seen in my life. And yet, we go to church Sunday. Look at us. We all gather to church on Sunday morning. And how dare a preacher preach that you've got to be born again? I was born once and I'm a good person. Look at me. And so forth. So then, when you're preaching against those things, water baptism doesn't save you. Sprinkling is never found in the Bible anywhere. Babies are never to be baptized. And yet, when you find a church that does all of these things absolutely contrary to the Bible, they're going to hate you. But in God's eyes, who in the world is going to condemn you? And what is it? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, he's risen again and is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. So Satan's up there saying, ho, ho, look at your servant down there. You know, he should be a love master, and here he is. He's preaching your word, Jesus, and he's stirring everybody up. And there's unrest in the community. You can just hear the Lord intercessing to God. That's right, Satan. Go to it, old boy. You know. Now, since you're trying to stir up trouble with his heavenly Father, that is God Almighty, let me remind you of your future. You're going to depart and be thrown into hell, old boy. So you better concentrate on that a little more than falsely accusing one of God's children for speaking the truth, you see. So it's wonderful to have Christ up there interceding for us. Now, we come on to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. But while we're on that, let me just say this. With all of this and these liberal churches that you have doing things absolutely contrary to the Word of God, there are no women preachers in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3 says, absolutely, do not let the woman teach the man or usher authority over the man. All you have to do is read it. So there's no women preachers. In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, it tells us specifically, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. Then he shall be the husband of one wife. I don't know how a woman's going to do that, do you? Well, there's some crazy things happening today. Some of the women dressing up like men, the men dressing up like women. I guess somebody could get fooled somewhere if they want to do it, you know. But in God's rule, there are no women preachers. I talked to one liberal preacher in town here and was talking to him and about women preachers. And he said, well, doesn't Romans chapter 16 say that Phoebe was a deaconess? And I said, no, not in a good Bible it doesn't. No, she wasn't a deaconess at all. And a deacon is not a preacher. That's not a pastor. And I said, the word deaconess, did you ever look it up in your Strong's Concordance or your Vine's Expository Words on the Greek New Testament? The word translated in your liberal translations, but not in a good Bible, taken from the original manuscripts, the word is servant. It is the same Greek word that's translated servant throughout the New Testament, and it should never be translated deaconess, you see. But all of this feminism has been, and so forth, and has been pushed down the church's throats, and they don't want to lose members, so let's bow to the wishes of men and the heck with what the Word of God says. That's what you have today, folks. So you get a Bible preacher comes up and says, this is what the Word of God says, and here's where we're going to stand, and so forth. We're going to stand on the Bible, and I don't care what your damnable philosophy says and how you want to say it's not for our time today or anything else like that. And then if you're a preacher that does that and you stand on the Bible, you're going to be condemned by these liberals and these lost people that go to church for a cloak of self-righteousness, don't know beans from apple butter about the Bible, and could care less, just long as they have a good social standing in the community, and you look upon them as, oh, they are wonderful people. They're some of the worst liars and gossips I've ever seen in my life. Now let's go on down. We find out here, with all of that, let me just read you something. I happen to come across this, don't know who the author is, but because of all of this toleration of sin that's going on, and the toleration of homosexuals that is brainwashing our land that it's all right, and then other cult religions that are coming and saying, don't salute the flag of the United States of America, don't celebrate birthdays, or anything, don't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate Easter, and let your child die up on the operating table if they need a blood transfusion. Don't give it to them. That's against God's word. That's cult religion. All of these things that are saturating more damnable false religions in the last 25 years than anybody has ever seen. I've talked to many older pastors said, we've never seen anything like it. It must be close to the rapture. Let me read you this poem that I happened to run across, and but the author's unknown. It goes like this. America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is built on sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. So many worldly pastors tell lies about our rock, saying God is going broke so they can fleece the flock. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotten to the core, appointed godless judges who throw reason out the door, too soft to place the killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? When then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. Only by the grace of God, with all of the morals that have decayed in our society, all of the trust of neighbor that has decayed in our society, adultery that is just running rapid, prostitution, alcoholics, drunks, drugs, ecstasy, one of the most damnable young teenage drugs today that's ruining more lives and taking more teenage lives so they can get a high on something. I often wonder, parents, where are you? Don't you ever take your children to Sunday school? Or maybe you take them to a liberal church where they hear the same old paraphernalia, be good boy, no bad boys, be good girl, no bad girls, and hear all of this. Let me confirm you now. You've got to come. We're going to teach you what we believe, and you've got to put the right answers down here. We're going to confirm you now. You're all right, and we want to baptize you. We want to give you a little certificate now and all of that. But you never hear the only way to heaven is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. So we find out the gospel verses and so forth. I was talking to a young man who stopped at my house the other night. And so forth, and I'm not going to say much about it. I don't want to, I'm not going to mention his name or anything else. But through the conversation, I said to him, if you were to die, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? He said, yes, I do. I said, would you tell me how? He says, I have faith. I said, have faith in what? Well, I just have faith. Well, I said, what do you have faith in? I mean, if you're going to heaven, you got to have faith in something. My Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith in what? Faith, believing, and trust are all used synonymous in the Bible for putting your faith and trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and paid for your sins. So I put my Bible, I moved it over in front of him, and I said, here's the Bible here. I want you to show me one verse in the Bible of all of this Bible from Genesis to Revelations, hundreds and thousands of verses. Just give me one that'll tell me how I can know I'm going to heaven when I die. He had no idea. He had absolutely no idea. But the philosophy was of the New Age movement. That's what his philosophy was, where it was coming from. You can pick it out after you had been around and listened to a little bit here. And I'm not mad at him. It's just faith in what? You see, you can have faith in a manufactured God that is up there that you've created in your own mind, like AA has. You know, let's make a God here. Whatever is your God, whether it's a pencil, whether it's a notebook, whether it's a pair of shoes, or whatever you want to do, just as long as you have something there, a God, that'll never take you to heaven, friend. You see, Cornelius believed in God, but he was lost on his way to hell. Jesus Christ said, and you know, it's an amazing thing, even the shows Touched by an Angel and everything else, you'll never hear Jesus Christ mentioned. Now, you listen to it. You'll never hear Jesus Christ. Now, you'll hear God, because God is a universal thing that, yes, we can sort of tolerate the word God, but you mention Jesus Christ, and you're going to raise hell. You're going to raise Satan up, and brother, he does not want you to mention that name, because there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved, and his name is Jesus Christ. So, you can manufacture a God in your mind, but unless it's the God of the Bible, and no man, in fact, Christ said this in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, no man comes unto the Father except by me. So if you claim to know a God, and you claim to know the God of the Bible, but you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, God says, you're just a plain liar, because if you know the Father, really, you will know the Son, because you can't know the Father unless you go through the Son, you see. So you have these counterfeits up here that use God as just sort of a nice little cliche, like, oh, I'm a religious person. I believe in God. Oh, you don't believe in, you believe in a manufactured God, but you don't believe in the God of the Bible, because if you did, you would believe what God said when he said, God loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. That's the God of the Bible that sent Christ to die for you. And if you believe the God of the Bible, you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior instead of your water baptism, instead of your sprinkling, instead of your babies being baptized, your women preachers, and your preachers getting up saying they can forgive your sins. All of these are gods. But the God of the Bible said, trust Jesus Christ, and you'll never perish but have everlasting life. We want to thank you for following along. We find out, and we've had many writers here, but our website is www.heritagebbc.com. We'd also like for you to write, if you want the book, it's $6.95. On the tongues, you'll find out the real truth about the tongues movement, because you're going to look at the scriptures for yourself instead of seeing all this impressionable external things that are thrown out. Oh, we love Jesus, all that kind of stuff, and all this emotional stuff. Let's go to the Bible and see if that emotion is from the Lord or from Satan. That's what you're going to do if you get the book. And there's many books out, but this one gets right to the point and of the matter where you can understand the scriptures for yourself. Well, we hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.